peaceful protest on public campuses is protected speech. Disrupted protest and trespassing on private property is not. That's a tweet from FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. And we're going to bring in Graham Pirro, the Campus Rights Advocacy Officer for FIRE right now. We want to talk about, of course, the tensions growing on college campuses as pro-Palestinian demonstrations have grown and they continue to grow. Good morning, Graham.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
This is a discussion we've had between just the three of us the past couple days. I mean, what is free speech? What is protected? And then what crosses that line?
Well, it is important here to set the stage a little bit and acknowledge that the First Amendment on public campuses protects a lot of political speech, but it doesn't protect disrupting campus operations, physically blocking students from getting to class. On private institution campuses, it also, when they have policies protecting free expression on campus, generally they will say, you can't camp out on campus. Again, you can't impede movement. You can't disrupt campus to the point that universities can't function. So while peaceful protest is something that should always be encouraged and protected, when students are blocking egress and setting up encampments, that certainly will start to approach the line where universities can take action to punish or to make sure that these protests don't get out of hand.
We've seen, Graham, these protests and counter-protests erupting in major universities across the country. House Speaker Mike Johnson planning to visit Columbia University to talk about the rise of anti-Semitism on college campuses. What is the impact of like a high profile visit like that? What is the impact on the campus dynamic?
There's a lot to be concerned about at Columbia right now. President Shafik, the Columbia's president, testified, I think a week ago today on Capitol Hill about the environment for free speech and also the environment regarding claims of anti-Semitism. And it just puts more pressure on the university to be overly aggressive in how it responds. There's always a concern when there's political pressure to start cracking down on student protests, that peaceful, non-disruptive protests may get swept up in the university's response. While at the same time, again, Columbia has seen protests on campus that have gotten apparently pretty disruptive. And this isn't an easy question. Universities have a really important task right now to make sure that their campuses can still function while also protecting students' right to protest. So Speaker Johnson's visit is just going to put more attention and probably more pressure on the university right now.
The we had a student at the University of Michigan who heads the Students Allied for Freedom and Equality tweet out, or I made him an Instagram, "Until my last breath, I will utter death to every single individual who supports the Zionist state." When you see things like that posted, is that protected speech? Yes, but should it be limited as hate speech? Where is that very fuzzy line?
I mean, that's sort of one of the fundamental questions that we deal with when it comes to the First Amendment. And the fact of the matter is that the First Amendment, again, protects a lot of offensive speech and what many consider to be hate speech. Now, with that being said, it's important to also note...
But that's threatening speech, isn't it? I mean...
Well, the line for true threats under the First Amendment is a very high line, and there has to be multiple facets to a threat, right? You have to basically be indicating that there is some sort of imminent chance that you are going to commit an act of violence, right? So, again... A speech can be offensive. It can be, approaching that line. But if there's not a specific threat being made, generally speaking, again, the First Amendment protects a lot of speech, while also noting that, a genuine true threat is not protected and is punishable and actionable. Harassment, incitement, these are categories of speech that would not be protected. But at the end of the day, the First Amendment does protect a lot of offensive political speech.
Graham, the tweet that I read was from April 11th, and it's a scenario we don't even have to get into the details. But a lot of people say, well, this is my free speech. And a lot of times it's not the same thing as what's protected, right? I mean, in the instance on April 11th, it was at a private home.
Yeah, right. It is important to take a, you know, let me tell you about the situation at UC Berkeley, right, where the UC Berkeley dean invited a group of graduating students. And while at this dinner at his private residence, a student stood up and began protesting and began disrupting, yelling into a loudspeaker. And yet, it's at a private residence. You don't have a First Amendment right to disrupt a private event and to make the event, turn the event into, you know, a cause that you want, or the take over the event, basically. So, yeah, I mean, again, at a public institution, there's going to be the First Amendment is going to give you a lot of opportunities for protest, but you don't have the right to go onto someone's private property and start, you know, protesting loudly, or, you know, basically taking an event that's totally unrelated, that's being put on for you, and taking over that event and making it into whatever you want it to be.
Just to follow, what about a private college institution, a private one?
So private institutions will oftentimes say in their policies that they incorporate the values of the First Amendment, or that they protect the right to freedom of expression and protest on campus. What they'll often do is they'll set up what are so-called free speech zones, basically areas on campus where students can go and can protest. But with some exceptions, private institutions aren't under the same legal obligations to have those outdoor areas of campus be open to protest in the same way that a public institution that's bound by the First Amendment is. And certainly when it comes to, you know, say, administrative buildings or dormitories on campus, colleges will often say, you know, you can't protest in here because there are college operations going on and you can't disrupt them. So again, it's a difficult line to walk. And certainly that line is being tested, especially in the last week on campus.
So, Graham, we've seen a whole range of responses from universities, from arrests to closures when they deal with these protests. What do you think is the most effective way for these institutions to manage these situations?
And that's the million-dollar question, right? You know, at some universities like NYU and Columbia, both New York universities, administrations have responded extremely aggressively, calling in outside police departments to come in and to clear out areas and to arrest students. It's a difficult line to walk, and certainly you don't want to be sending the message to campus that any protests are going to be punished this harshly. You know, committing to remaining institutionally neutral, for example, is a good way that universities can respond, basically saying, we respect the rights of students and faculty to have a wide range of opinions on this matter, but we, as an institution, as a university, are not going to be putting out statements taking one side or the other. We're going to be saying that we want to be a place where people can have a wide range of opinions, and they're not going to be punished for their opinion, while also saying, you know, if you disrupt campus operations, if your demonstrations cross the line into violence, you are going to be punished. Policies have to be enforced. I think that's really important to also note. So certainly saying that institutional neutrality is going to be an important priority for a university, while also saying that if you cross the line into violence or disruption, you're going to be punished. Those are good ways that universities can handle this.
Well, thank you to Graham Pirro, a defender of free speech. He's the Campus Rights Advocacy Officer for the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, or FIRE. Thank you, Graham.
Thank you very much for having me.
Coming up, the governor of the great state of Michigan declaring Honolulu Blue Day. What's it mean for all of us? Next on JR Morning.